Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I asked my father once to tell me something important he had learned as a child from his mother, from Grandma Angelica. My father said to me, "Solidarity, son. We were taught to be in solidarity with others, to help the needy, to help the poor." At first, I found his response somewhat odd. From stories I had heard and pictures I had seen from my father's childhood, it seemed to me that his family was the needy. His family was the poor. They were the ones who needed the solidarity of others. My father's family grew up poor in a popular barrio in downtown Panama. To say that they live paycheck to paycheck is probably too generous. In fact, it was Uncle Leopoldo, my grandma's youngest brother, an educator, who always seemed to save the day and help out with the needs of the family. He became like a second father for my dad and his siblings. So it is no accident that I bear the name Leopoldo. It was given to me in honor of my great uncle. I now realize that my father's comments about learning to be in solidarity with the needy were not odd at all. Because he had lived poverty in the flesh, he could identify with the poor, sympathize with their plight, and show compassion to them. As I think about that conversation, I can almost hear my father saying, "Son, we learned to be in solidarity with the poor because we were born poor and went through the sufferings the poor endure." Solidarity. That word tells us a great deal about the Son of God. It is true that the author of Hebrews speaks of Jesus as the Son who sits at the right hand of the Father on high, is superior to the angels, and has inherited a name above every name. All images and descriptions that place the Son on the side of God and God's rule over all things. But this sublime and awe-inspiring picture of the exalted Son is never spoken of apart from the Son's solidarity with the human race through his incarnation sufferings and obedience unto death. Because the Son became like his brothers in every way except for sin, because he was tested through what he suffered, because he agonized over death at the Garden of Gethsemane and tasted death even as he put his life in the Father's hands, because the Son entered deeply into this solidarity with the human race, he can truly identify with us who are being tested, sympathize with our fears and weaknesses, and have compassion towards us. So it is clear that Hebrews is not really interested in speaking about an exalted Son who remains in high places, stays away from the lowly and the crushed, and keeps his glory to himself. But neither is the author of the Hebrews interested in a Son who sympathizes with us but cannot help us. I remember Luther's comments about how it doesn't really bother the devil if you believe that Jesus is the divine Son. It doesn't really bother the devil if you believe that Jesus is an example of a holy life in sacrifice for others. You could say all that, but the point is to arrive at the fact that it is precisely this divine Son who enters our human race, comes one of us in order to die, to bear our sins upon himself, so that he can lead us to be children of God. Yes, even though God created the universe through his Son, and the Son is the very imprint of God's being, the Son is made lower than the angels for a little while and becomes our brother. He shares in our blood and flesh, suffers our temptations, and undergoes death in order to set us free from the power of the devil, from the power of death, from the fear of death. That ought to worry the devil. And by doing so, the Son becomes the leader of our salvation, the one who goes before us, the forerunner who, crowned with glory, will also bring many children to glory. In this season of Lent, we are reminded of our sin and mortality. We remember that sin and death are our common destiny. But we are also reminded of the mercy of the Son of God, who by sharing in our death and dying for our sins, has revealed to us the extent and the depth of his solidarity with us and love for us. As our high priest, Christ has entered the heavenly sanctuary before us with his own blood, once and for all, in order to redeem us from our sins, and by his perpetual intercession on our behalf, to give us access to God's throne of grace and bring us at last into God's eternal rest, the heavenly Jerusalem. Future pastors and deaconesses, know this: the same Spirit through whom Christ offered his life to the Father in service to others will teach you also to enter into solidarity with those entrusted to your care, to offer yourselves to God as living sacrifices for them. The Spirit of Christ will lead you to walk with your people as they struggle with their sins, fight temptations, endure physical pain, suffer emotional grief, and are anxious and afraid about the prospect of death, all common human experiences. The same Spirit will help you to intercede for your people before the Father, especially in the midst of tragedy, when it is hard to pray. And through such teaching, leading, and helping, the Spirit of Christ will in fact be conforming you in your life of service to the neighbor, to the image of the Son who entered into solidarity with you when he became your brother and shared your sufferings, that he might bring you back to the Father and intercede for you before him forever. So there is a priestly character to the church and to those who serve in the church. The church offers her life to serve others as a living sacrifice to bring them to Christ. Church prays and intercedes before God for others through the intercession of Christ. Solidarity. As Christ has done for you, so you go and do for others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.